Welcome to RotoWire's Wednesday NBA DFS podcast, sponsored by DraftKings. I'm Joe Bartle, and joined alongside me, as always, is Ben Miller. Ben, we had some success based off of Monday's lineup.
You might have had success. I'm not sure I was.
You're right. I might have had success, save for the Tyson Chandler switcheroo that I had no idea was coming and, of course, came right near lineup lock.
Right.
If you put Greg Monroe in there and say you decided not to listen to my advice and you wanted to have DeMarcus Cousins in there instead of Anthony Davis, which was completely fine, and I understood that, that would have been a full 100 points and close to near 400-point threshold on DraftKings just using my lineup.
Yeah, Cousins. Oh, man.
Over 100 points on DraftKings. That's in part because he had 20-plus rebounds, 40-plus points, and, oh, by the way, had a triple-double.
That's absurd. Over 100 points. I didn't even think that was possible, I'll be honest. Like, that's wild.
It was crazy to see, and I honestly didn't get a chance to watch the game unfold, but I really would have liked to.
No, me too.
That would have been an interesting one to see how everything's going. And, of course, the Bulls on the other side of things. Well, when you have a score of 132 to 128, there are going to be ridiculous numbers that are put up. Honestly, I'm surprised Anthony Davis didn't get more.
Yeah.
And if he would have gotten one more rebound, he would have triggered the double-double bonus on DraftKings, which would have been a significant boost in points where he was at. But the price you're paying, if you made those just two small choices, that would have been near 400 points. This is a far cry from Mr. 250 on FanDuel here. I feel this is a new start.
This is DraftKings.
I'm rolling on DraftKings.
I'm not liking this. This is killing me.
I'm getting confident. That's the problem. Watch out. All right, well, let's get to DraftKings Wednesday 9-game slate going on. I mean, honestly, there's a couple of ways you can do your lineup, but truthfully, you're looking at a Bulls 76ers 7 o'clock Eastern Time tip-off game. That's going to have a huge impact on the way you want to set your lineup, and that's where we're going to start our dialogue and diving into this 9-game slate. Say you want to start Jerian Grant, the point guard for the Bulls, who is expected to be the starting guard once again with Chris Dunn still out due to the concussion. Of course, 76ers allow a lot of points to that point guard spot, and Jerian Grant's done pretty well. He scored over 50 points last time around when we did this podcast, so makes sense to have him out there. He's a bit higher priced, and we'll get to that. I'm sure that's a bit of your concern, but let's just say the audience wants to have Jerian Grant in there. The other value play, I think, at the guard spot is going to be Timo Luwakabare. At this point, he's probably the de facto starting point guard for the 76ers because TJ McConnell is out with a personal injury. Jared Bayless is out with a wrist injury. Fultz is still out doing whatever he needs to do with his shoulder. He's by virtue going to be getting 30 minutes tonight, and he's under 4K on DraftKings. Those two in there lock up two of the three guard spots, two of the four if you want to include a utility. How do you want to structure your lineup? Because you're really kind of tying yourself to those two guys.
Well, perfect. That's actually, I like that a lot. I like being able to pay down at that spot a little bit. Because when I look at the center spot on this, in this lineup, I hate everything that's below like 7,500. I have to pay up for center. So I think this, first off, this allows me to do that. So I really like that. After that, it's tough because there are a couple other guards on the slate that I like. So I like an expensive guy like Chris Paul, who I'd probably have to use a utility spot for, something like that.
Well, he could use the guard too.
Right, the original guard spot, yeah.
But going back to your point, if there aren't big men, and I say big men being a power forward or a center spot that you feel comfortable using under 6K, well, I imagine that makes it tough to find a utility spot. So that you very well could have to use Chris Paul as a utility and maybe find a cheaper guard somewhere else. That's the potential possibility.
Definitely. I think it just allows us to kind of fit in, you know, the big men that are expensive. I think that's what makes this slate so nice for me. That's why I like it that much, is we got these guards who are fairly reasonable. Even a guy like Dejounte Murray too, you know, he's reasonably priced as well. So there's a bunch of guards in there that really make this slate nice, where you can, you know, pay up for big men.
And I'll say there's a bunch of big men too that have intriguing there. I mean, of course, there is the Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins still hanging around. They're by far the highest priced players on DraftKings. But there are some guys, I'm not going to say mid-tier value, but the 7,000 and 8,000 range, even closer to 9,000, like LaMarcus Aldridge, that have been consistent for a while now, that you could utilize for a variety of different spots. And you're getting the price savings with those two guards. That's why I think it's important to emphasize the strategy, the one you want to use when there are already two guard spots you're kind of locking in if you want to go any other direction as far as paying up at that center forward spot.
Right.
All right, well, let's touch on some of the injuries that are affecting Wednesday's 9-game slate, starting first with the Jazz and Pistons, a 7 o'clock Eastern time tip-off. Rodney Hood is out with that lower leg injury, so that means more Alec Burke. And then Reggie Bullock's on the Pistons side of things is available with a thumb injury, but probably not going to be playing. So Stanley Johnson gets the benefit of the minutes there. of those two main injuries for the Jazz Pistons, I think obviously Alec Burks is going to be the guy that you could potentially use in your lineup, but frankly, his price was such where I didn't feel comfortable putting him into my lineup.
Yeah, I mean, he's had like 21 and 18 minutes, so it's not like a huge boost for him. I'm probably still avoiding him as well.
This isn't a great matchup overall. The Pistons are an okay team defensively.
Yeah.
Gobert is back now and getting back into the swing of things, so there isn't really the need to be utilizing somebody else offensively. Of course, there's still guys that are going to be scoring besides Gobert. He's not really that big of an offensive guy. Just one of those things where I know Burks is going to be able to provide the three-point shooting, but where he's at right now, even with the minutes increase with Hood out, I don't feel comfortable using him at this
point. Me either.
Going over to the Suns Pacers, which is a very interesting stacking game if you want to go that route. Marquese Chris will be out again with the hip injury, so Dragan Bender is still starting at the power forward spot. But frankly, if you look at his numbers, you wouldn't know he's starting. I mean, he's scoring under 20 DraftKings points down the last couple nights. We had talked about him on Monday as maybe an intriguing name. This is another great matchup given that Pacers struggled defensively stopping the spot. And this is, again, with Miles Turner questionable. I'm surprised that Bender isn't doing as well as he is given the minutes he's been getting.
Yeah, he had that two-game stretch where he had like 43 and 32 FanDuel points. So like that's his top upside. That's what you'll get if he blows up. But obviously, like you said, since then, it's been absolute crap. So there's no way I'm going there. I mean, he's getting 28, 30 minutes. So it's not like his minutes have dropped at all. It's just he's lacking production. So I'm out on that as well.
And he's just a little under 5K, too. If he was in the 3K, 4K range, that might be something I would consider. And I know that we shouldn't be quibbling about a $400 or $500 difference, but you do it all the time, so I feel comfortable doing it for me as well.
Definitely. I always do it.
Yeah, I just don't know about it.
It matters, Joe. It matters.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I don't know about that, but I'll give you there that in this situation, I don't feel comfortable given the price tag that he's at. And even with the minutes, he's not getting the production. So I'm steering away from that. I'm kind of steering away from Sabonis, too. Even if Turner comes back, he's still been getting his minutes. Fast and Furious Dom is going to be getting that production as far as the minute goes. But you look at his DraftKings stuff and where he's priced. Again, that's a situation where you're talking about people over 7K that you like, under 7K you don't like. Well, here's one of those guys under 7K that you're not comfortable using as a big guy.
No, and you like the matchup, obviously. You're going up against the Suns. It's going to be an up-tempo game, so you like that. But I agree. At the same time, the potential for Turner to come back, the price is just a little too much for me.
Absolutely. Over to the Pelicans, Horn at 7 o'clock Eastern time tip-off, of course. Kemba Walker is circling in trade rumors, but that really hasn't affected things so far for the Hornets. And there's not really any new injuries for the Pelicans side of things. Going back to the Hornets, Kidd Gilchrist is probable to play with that foot injury that's kept him out for a little while. And Cody Zeller, I should say, still remains out with that knee injury. Anthony Davis, DeMarcus Cousins, your two highest priced players on Wednesday's 9-game slate. We know what Cousins just did. We just saw it. We know what his top production can be. Do you feel comfortable using him, though, against the Hornets?
I'd say I feel comfortable. I would. I'd feel comfortable doing it. Do I really want to is the other situation there. It's nice. Like we mentioned at the start of the pod, we have the ability to pay up for him because we can fit a guy like TLC in there and some cheaper guard options. But I'm leaning off those two. I think there's some better, more expensive guys that you can take a look at that are, price tier down that are like a little bit better. I don't want to pay that far up for Cousins, even though he just went off for that monster outing.
Davis is $1,000 less than when we were talking about on Monday. So he was at $11,800. Yeah. He's now priced at $10,800. That's literally screaming Ben should like this guy more.
But
of course, there's the Anthony Davis tax that comes with potentially him being out whatever randomly for whatever injury that might occur.
Yeah, I'd feel way more comfortable with Davis, obviously, than Cousins between the two.
I agree with you, but then I look at that 100 point score line, and it's like, wow.
This is what he can do.
We've seen Anthony Davis go off for stretches of time.
Yeah.
I wonder if DeMarcus Cousins isn't due for a just go off for a stretch of time type of deal. I don't want to go that route. In fact, I'm going to use the other big guy in this matchup. That's Dwight Howard. It seems counterintuitive given how much we're talking about Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins and how big those guys are. Howard's not going to be getting a lot of blocks, but the Pelicans do allow a lot of scoring to that center spot. And I think DraftKings scoring, but also just scoring in general. I kind of am intrigued, and I think that might be a little bit one of those plays where you look at Anthony Davis, you look at DeMarcus Cousins, oh, they're so big guys, they're going to be able to stop whoever's in front of them. Well, actually, the numbers say otherwise, that the Pelicans allow probably the top five most DraftKings points to that center spot. Howard's going to get a double-double. that's going to happen. So you're right. going to get that bonus when it comes to that. At 8,200, you're kind of setting yourself up for around 40 points, at least in a double up lineup. I think Howard might be a sneakily consistent play.
I mean, he's had over 40 FanDuel or DraftKings points in the last four games. So that's great. That's also brought his price up though. So that's starting to worry me a little bit there. Obviously this is the $600 price change you're talking about that I worry about. This is it.
Stop quibbling over it.
I don't like that he's up to, you know, 8,200 here, but, I think he is super consistent. Obviously when he's going to get like 15 boards a game, it's crazy. He's super consistent with that. Yeah.
Even with Cousins and Davis there, I think Howard is going to get those. And it's not so much that those two guys won't be getting it for the Pelicans, but simply put, the team that he plays for, the Hornets, they don't get many rebounds besides Dwight Howard, the big guys. So there's just more opportunities out there. So long as an injury doesn't surface and like Frank Kaminsky gets 10 minutes or randomly or something like that, I think that Dwight Howard actually ends up being a decent play that a lot of people are going to stick their nose up right away when they see the matchup.
Right. Yeah. It is tough just because of he's going up against two superstars, but I could definitely see the slight intrigue there.
Absolutely. We'll move over to the Bulls 76 or 7 o'clock Eastern time tip off. We already teased at the top of the hour, or top of the podcast, I should say, Chris Dunn is going to be out with a concussion for another game. So that means Jerian Grant gets the third straight start. Of course, Denzel Valentine's been seeing some minutes, but again, certainly hasn't been seeing DraftKings production. I think Jerian Grant is a very reasonable play at the point guard, shooting guard, utility spot, whatever you want to do in your DraftKings lineup. He's sitting at 5,800. That's a higher price, but of course, he's been doing really well when he's been getting the minutes. The 76ers is a great matchup, and that's without TJ McConnell, Jared Bayless, Markelle Fultz all out, JJ Reich included in that conversation. I think that Jerian Grant almost ends up being a must play. Do you agree with that statement?
I wouldn't say must play. I'd say must play if he was about 5,000. I'd say he's a must play then.
I'm rolling my eyes right now. No one can see this, but I'm rolling my eyes because it's only an $800 difference, but yet who must play is not an $800 difference.
No, definitely not. No, I do like the play though. Obviously he's played extremely well the last two games, you know, starting, you know, filling in for Dunn. I think, he's a guy that kind of does it all. I think I mentioned this on Monday that he gets the, you know, points, he gets rebounds, he gets assists. He does kind of everything as a guard, which you don't always get. So I like the play. I do. I think he's got potential for that multi-category production there to kind of give you that solid base number.
Again, Timotei Luwawu-Cabarrot, TLC for short. That's the last time I'm going to be saying his name. So TLC, that's what we're going with now for the future, is probably the biggest value play on this slate. And that's, again, because T.J. McConnell, Jared Bayless, Markelle Fultz, J.J. Redick. Whew, say that five times fast.
I can't.
That's right. That's right. That's why I'm the professional. I'm the leading host
exactly.
here.
Exactly.
That's why I think TLC is going to be a value play at under 4,000. In double ups, you should be expecting around 40 or 50% owned rate, depending on how big your slate or how big the people are in this tournament that you're in. That being said, I still think it's one of those things you have to have in there. If he gets over 30 DraftKings points, you're already set at the value that you need him to. And I fully expect that to be the case given all the minutes he's expected to be getting.
Yeah. He played 30 minutes in the last two games he started, you know, obviously the last two, even against, you know, a tougher Memphis squad who was hurt. He had, you know, 26 FanDuel points. He had 24 FanDuel points the previous one. He's not really getting anything other than, like, he's not doing anything other than scoring. So that's obviously super concerning. But at his price, I think there's plenty of upside there. So I'm locking him in for sure.
Absolutely. Moving over to the Raptors, Hawks, 7:30 Eastern time tip-off. No real injuries to note for either squad in this. Of course, the Hawks, we've been talking about this all year. Bad defense at the center spot. I thought about getting Valanciunas in there. Didn't want to try it. I thought about maybe even going with Serge Ibaka, as the Hawks have been struggling at the power forward spot. Then I looked at Serge's numbers and I said, no, not going Serge at all. So is there anyone you feel really comfortable using in this game? Because it's a surprisingly decent matchup where I don't know if I find value in any of these players.
I really don't like anything about this game. Like you said, I actually looked at Serge too. I saw his price. I'm like, ooh, that's a nice looking price. But yeah, he's been brutal. I'm avoiding that. I'm avoiding Valanciunas. I like the guys in the top tier at center, so I'm not touching him there. In this game.
If you told me Valanciunas was going to get 30 minutes, I might be a little bit more understanding, but he's had four games, two which he's seen over 30 or close to 30, and two that he's seen less than 15. That's way too big of a swing for me to feel comfortable going that direction, right?
No, I'm avoiding that Tenfold.
All right. Rockets, Mavericks, 8 o'clock Eastern time tip-off. We already talked about Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins as some of the highest-priced players on DraftKings. Well, here's your other highest-priced player, James Harden. And I don't blame him. I don't blame DraftKings for the pricing because, of course, the Mavericks aren't great defensively. There's not a lot of injuries to note for the Rockets side of things. Chris Paul is kind of getting back to the swing of things on offense, too. The Mavericks, just Devin Harris out with a concussion. Maybe more minutes for J.J. Barea, Yogi Ferrell, Nerlens Noel, Seth Curry, Dorian Finley-Smith all out. They've been out for a while. Not really a big factor in terms of DFS on either side of things, really, in this matchup.
Yeah.
I know, and I'm going to be foreshadowing, but I know Chris Paul, guy that you're interested in. How about James Harden, though? If you weren't going to go the Chris Paul route, he's $1,300 higher than Paul. Do you feel comfortable using Harden if you really were effective with the price savings?
I do. I did think about playing him. The price, it is tough because he's had a few kind of stinkers lately. I'd feel comfortable playing him, though. He was probably one of the few top guys I originally looked at that I wanted to use. Still, I honestly like Chris Paul even better in this matchup. I feel like he can harass those young guards. But I'd feel comfortable with Harden if someone asked me if they should play him.
The Mavericks allow the most points, again, not DraftKings points, but the most points to the point guard spot overall. And DraftKings wise, they've allowed quite a bit. I think they're going to be at least top five. I would imagine they're probably even closer to that. So your point remains that one of those squads that he should be able to harass for the most part. I think the steals is an important part, too. We know that Chris Paul is a better defender than maybe... Well, we know that Chris Paul is talked about as being a better defender than maybe he is, but he still gets the production. He still gets those counting statistics, and that might be one of those where, okay, he could get that. My question to you is, though, do you think Paul is in a position to benefit from that double-double bonus on DraftKings? I don't know if that's the case, and that's where he gets that value that you're hoping to get 40 to 45 DraftKings points. It's going to be coming on the back of if he can get those assists or not.
I think he does have that opportunity. This is one of the higher over-unders on the night, so it's going to be an up-and-down game. That's plenty of statistics all around. I think this is an easy game for him to potentially grab, 10, 11, assists. It looks like he's had about four double-digit assist games in, the last 10 or 12 or so. So not bad. I like that against the Mavericks. I think he could definitely do that.
My other concern, and I don't know if this is really so much of an issue when it's a Texas rivalry, in which this is what this... I know the Mavericks have struggled thus far, so rivalries are kind of built when teams are both pretty good, but there still is that interstate divisional stuff that's going on. I wonder if the Rockets end up getting too far ahead and they have to pull some of these guys out, and therefore you're losing your opportunity at getting these bonuses that DraftKings is providing.
That's always a worry. I feel like... I used to worry about this a little too much, and it doesn't happen as often as we think it does. So I really don't. I'm not that. That doesn't scare me.
It's worth noting the Dallas Mavericks actually allowed the fewest DraftKings points to the shooting guard spot overall. So if you're looking at paying up for James Harden, who is again the second highest player on Wednesday's 9-game slate, just keep in mind you're expecting to get a lot of points. Maybe some rebounds, and that might be it. Just keep that in mind. I would rather pay up for a big guy. I think you're getting a more guaranteed double up production than as opposed to a guard. But if you hit on that guard, and we know James Harden can be hit on, obviously, I'm not just trying to make a Khloe Kardashian reference here. If we know Harden has the potential to go off, there is a price to pay when it comes to that, though, if you're looking at acquiring his high price. Moving over to the Spurs-Grizzlies, 8 o'clock Eastern time tip-off. On the Spurs side of things, Manu Ginobili is a game-time decision with a thigh. Paul Gasol is a wrist game-time decision. We, of course, know Rudy Gay, Kawhi Leonard already out. On the Grizzlies side of things, there was a myriad of guys injured on Monday. A little less so now. Tyreek Illness, which would actually be feels like a good name. Yeah. That's a good rapper name, but I'm not sure an NBA name. Tyreek Evans is going to be game time decision with the illness. If he's out, more Mario Chalmers, Andrew Harrison, Wayne Seldom, Jarrell Martin. If he's able to play without any injury, he should start at the power forward spot because Jermichael Green is out with the ankle injury, James Ennis calf injury, Chandler Parsons out with the knee injury, and of course Mike Conley will be still out for an extended time. So Tyreek Evans, I think, is the big name to watch, and frankly, might be one of the biggest injuries overall on Wednesday's 9-game slate. Do you have any sense as far as where that might end up leaning towards his stats? That is,
it's tough. It's kind of like a committee approach that they use there. Usually I would think it'd be Mario Chalmers jumping in there, but I really don't like any three of those guards that we're considering here: Chalmers, Harrison, Seldon. I don't like it. I don't think there's guaranteed guaranteed, you know, production for any single one of those guys. So still rather go for a guy like TLC, Jerry and Grant, for price wise, even if these guys are, you know, cheap.
I'll say this. Do we know if it's a Tony Parker game or not? Like, do we know if Tony Parker is going to be active? I can see, given all the injuries the Grizzlies are going on, this might be one of those where the Spurs just choose to rest some of their veterans. So Paul Gasol is already a game-time decision. Ginobili is already a game-time decision.
Yeah.
It might just simply be a better strategy to sit those guys, including Parker, in which case Dejounte Murray ends up being a really interesting name as far as price goes against a depleted Grizzlies squad.
Yeah, I'll be honest. To begin with, I hate that I like three or four guys in this game just because of how slow grinded out it's going to be. Like,
on both sides,
it's going to be brutal.
Yeah. On both sides of things.
And I love Aldridge. And like you just mentioned, Murray. Murray's a guy that I also, you know, I'm definitely interested in. At 4,800, his price has gone up a little bit, but Popovich did say Tuesday that Murray's the guy moving forward. So they're passing the torch from Parker to him. It's going to be Murray starting for the rest of the season.
You know what that means, though? You know that Patty Mills is getting 35 minutes tonight. That's how the Spurs work. We had talked about this in an earlier podcast. We didn't know whether it'd be a Murray or a Mills game. We were leaning towards Murray, and then Patty Mills gets 30 points, 8 assists, and we're like, well, damn it. We just messed that whole thing up. I recognize what Pop says, and what Pop says goes, but that is the risk that you have to take when you're playing Dejounte Murray, is that they can go any number of directions any given night.
Definitely the risk, but there's a lot of reward there. Look at last night's line. 49 FanDuel points he had last night. He had 19 points, 10 rebounds, 3 assists, 7 steals. Obviously, he's not going to get 7 steals again, but this is one of the guards that is one of the best rebounders I've seen for a young guy. He's had 10 rebounds, 7 rebounds, 7 rebounds, 9 in the last 4 games. That's absurd for a young guard. Still super cheap, 4,800. I love the price. He had 28 DraftKings points the game prior. So I love the play. He does a little bit of everything, defense and offense. I'm going with him again.
Support for this podcast comes from U.S. Bank. When you're looking for a credit card, get one that wins awards. The U.S. Bank Visa Platinum Card is NerdWallet's 2021 Best of Awards winner for Best 0% Intro APR and Balance Transfer Credit Card. It provides a great way to pay for large purchases over time, as well as consolidating other card balances. And speaking of award winners, the U.S. Bank Altitude Go Visa Signature Card is NerdWallet's 2021 Best Credit Card for dining out or ordering in. Earn 4x points on takeout, food delivery, and dining. Get 2x points at gas stations, grocery stores, and on streaming. If you're into cashback or travel rewards, U.S. Bank has credit cards that feature those benefits, too. Check out their full suite of credit cards at usbank.com/creditcard. The creditor and issuer of these cards is U.S. Bank National Association, pursuant to a license from Visa USA, Inc., and the cards are available to United States residents only. Some restrictions may apply. Member FDIC.
We joked about earlier, leading into the podcast, that we should just have a dinger or something whenever Ben ends up saying FanDuel points instead of DraftKings points, because it's the point. I mean, you just corrected yourself there, but there was one just
seconds earlier
that you just completely said FanDuel for instead of DraftKings. One of the faithful listeners, I encourage you guys to keep a running count every episode as to how many times Ben says FanDuel points instead of DraftKings, because for the most part, I've been right on with this switch, but you're red-faced over
this
here.
This is tough, man.
You've been hurt the most from this switch.
It's killing me, man.
Every time. I just get a little wry smile going on. Wily smile. I don't say wry smile.
Oh, God.
It's not a letter smile, but a wily smile going every time you say FanDuel instead of DraftKings.
It gets me every time. This is tough. It's tough.
We're professionals, Ben. This is what we're supposed to be able to do.
I'm getting there.
Say DraftKings instead of FanDuel when we're talking about the points on the sponsored podcast.
I'll do what I can.
That's all we can ask for. Moving over to the Timberwolves Trailblazers, 9 o'clock Eastern time tip-off. Jimmy Butler is doubtful with the knee injury, so more Bielitsa potentially starting at the small forward spot. He was a value player we talked about on Monday. Ended up being pretty good dividends. I feel comfortable using him. However, he is now into the Ben threshold where he is priced much higher than he was on Monday, and therefore is someone we need to consider about if we want to use that value player or not.
Yeah, he's up $1,300. That's scary, but he was a minimum guy. You know, it's not like he's moving into the mid-tier. He's still like the bottom quarter, bottom third. So I still like to play. You know, Butler is doubtful, so he's not going to play. I think it's great. He played 35 minutes, 37 FanDuel points. That's the sort of upside he has. That's the sort of that is the sort of upside he has. So I like to play again, even though he's up a little bit.
I'm just gonna start making a ding noise myself. I thought maybe I'd just do it on the podcast and find a way to do the no. I'm just gonna say ding out loud and just stop you mid.
Feel free. Yeah, you might as well.
This is how we have to condition.
I need to learn my lesson.
To condition this out. I agree with you though. I think Bielitsa is actually a really interesting name. I'm not scared off about the 4,300. Really, that's only you that gets scared off by the major price increases overall. So I still think, as far as looking at value plays, it ends up being TLC. Jerian Grant for under 6K isn't necessarily value, but I really believe the 76ers, and given all the minutes he's going to get, that is a value play. And we should mention, though, I'm going to go back to the Bulls 76ers. This could be a Zach LaVine game too, right? I mean, he's coming off that major injury. He's really starting to get in the flow of things. In fact, I think on the RotoWire news update, there was something saying that LaVine was going to get more minutes moving forward. This is a perfect time to do so. I still think Jerian Grant is interesting enough at under 6K that I want to have in my lineup.
Yeah, in terms of LaVine, he's on a 24-minute restriction still. Apparently, he's in line for increased minutes after Wednesday.
After Wednesday. So literally, this is the arbitrary date that's decided.
So after tonight. Yeah, this is for some reason, they just want to keep it down.
I know there's probably some science behind this, but I just get I roll my eyes every time they're like, all right, after Wednesday is now when his minutes, despite the fact we're missing one of our prime guards, we're just going to go ahead and say after today's game.
It's like they... Yeah, they just want to make it look like they're being careful when really it really doesn't
matter. That's actually a really good way of putting it. All I know is I've been burned way too often assuming people are going to not play very much. I think back to Batum, who was coming off a broken something or another, and he still plays 30 minutes right away.
Yeah.
I know that the Hornets are a different team than the Bulls, but still, I don't trust these coaches when they say that. When a push comes to shove, you want your best guys in there. That is Jerian Grant at this point, but I think it's also Zach LaVine too.
Yeah, LaVine, he's 5,300. I can't go there.
I know. I know, especially when we're talking about restriction and we're talking about minutes.
Right.
5,300 is a lot. I wouldn't be surprised. That's all I'm going to say.
Right.
I'm not going to go that direction, but I wouldn't be surprised. Rounding out Wednesday's 9-game slate is the Clippers Celtics 10:30 Eastern time tip off. That'll be a great game to watch, but good God, I don't know how many people I want to really use from a DFS perspective. DeAndre Jordan is doubtful. So I think the one guy that ends up being interesting is Montrezl Harrell. Willie Reed probably benefits a little bit. Of course, we have Gallinari, Austin Rivers, Juwan Evans, all going to be out for the Clippers side of things. I used Teodosic. He was okay on Monday. He wasn't fantastic. I certainly am staying away from Teodosic now. I wonder if Kyrie Irving is not more of an interesting name. I didn't really consider him in my lineup, but as far as the guards that were higher priced, it's not like the Clippers have been fantastic defensively. Maybe Kyrie Irving ends up being a guy that you know has the potential to go off scoring-wise, but could maybe sneak into the conversation for a double-double.
Yeah, he's not even a guy I really considered or even saw on the slate, but I agree.
It's the late-game stuff. I mean, you look at the 30 games, you're like, you skip past it, but he actually is kind of intriguing.
He's had a ton of DraftKings points lately, 44, 60, and 42. Played really well. Only 8,600. I'd use him. I think I have no reservations of him against the Clippers. I mean, they're injury depleted. Don't have a lot of defensive guys up, in the backcourt. It's not like they have Patrick Beverley. He's done for the season. So I think that'd be a fine play.
Clippers are very firmly in the pack in terms of allowing points to that DraftKings spot point guard wise. Really, last five games they've been pretty good overall. I think that's more due to the schedule. They just haven't faced that many star players. If you look at the numbers a little bit more, they actually don't allow that many assists either. The steals, that's up there. I think they were around top 10 or top 15 in terms of allowing steals to that point guard spot. Yeah. So Kyrie Irving isn't necessarily known as a defensive guy, but that might be production that you would otherwise not be expecting from him.
Right.
All right. Well, I guess that does it for our Wednesday 9-game slate as far as going through injuries. Before we get to the RotoWire optimizer lineup, let's first get a word from Draft Easy. We know how frustrating it can be to play in DFS tournaments only to be dominated week in and week out by the Sharks and pro players. Did you know 91% of the money is won by 1% of the players? Well, now finally, we found a new daily fantasy game where you actually have a chance to win. With DraftEasy.com's rapid fire game, all you do is pick which player in 5 2-player matchups you think will score the most fantasy points. Get 4 out of the 5 picks right and triple your money. It's that Draft Easy. No salary caps, no math, no competition, just you against the house. Sign up at DraftEasy.com now with promo code RotoWire and get a free shot at $50. And check this out. For RotoWire users, get at least 1 pick right and score $20 free. And for January, DraftEasy has a crazy deposit match bonus with no drip up to $100. Go now to DraftEasy.com Fantasy Sports Made Easy. Ben, we did our RotoWire lineup last Monday based on two of our value plays. We kind of argued a little bit off the air as to which one of our value plays we went with. Of course, because I'm the host and I can say DraftKings points instead of FanDuel points.
True. Yes.
I won out and I got my two value plays that I want in my lineup. So I'll let you read through what the RotoWire optimizer lineup is for DraftKings.
Okay. So at point guard, it's going with Ben Simmons, 7,600 against the Bulls. That's who I went with last week, and he absolutely blew it.
Yeah, last Monday, absolutely.
Yeah, only had 20 DraftKings points, so that was a tough one. They're going back to it. I like it. I like his price. Like you said, he at the start of the season, he was super expensive, was dominating. He's in a bit of a lull here, but that's what you're looking for when you're trying to grab that lowest price, so I get it. Then, obviously, Jerian Grant, who we talked about. Don't have to go too much into that. JJ Barea is one of their cheaper guys. No Devin Harris. I could see maybe he gets a few more minutes there.
Without looking at this lineup at all, this is definitely paving the way for potentially not just Anthony Davis or Marcus Cousins, but both of them. Am I correct in assuming that both are in this lineup?
You are 0 for 2.
A stunner for the RotoWire Optimizer lineup right here. Continue.
Definitely a couple expensive big men. But yeah, Barea's 4,500 against the Rockets up-tempo game. Then we got TLC. We talked about a bunch, 3,900, super cheap. They're going Blake Griffin at power forward against the Celtics.
Given his 70-point game last time out on Monday, I recognize where that's coming from. All right.
He's 9,000, though. He's super expensive. Not that great of a matchup, I don't think. They're going Dwight Howard at center. You mentioned him.
There we go.
Against the Pelicans.
Repping me.
8,200. They're going to Montrezl Harrell, who you mentioned as one of those guys in that late game that you like. I do as well. Getting up there in price, but no DeAndre Jordan. He's 4,700. And then the last guy is Thad Young against the Suns.
He's
5,800.
I'm pretty sure I tried to petition for him to just be named double up because that's what he's great at. He's fantastic in double up situations. You're not going to be getting a lot of production from him as far as a ceiling, but the floor is so goddamn meaty that at times he just works out for it. So I understand where Thad Young comes into play as far as the RotoWire optimizer lineup. Your feelings overall looking at it though?
I want to like it, but I don't. Again, I think it's because Simmons burned me. That's where I'm hurting. I also don't like the Griffin matchup against the Celtics. I don't think that's that great. I mean, if you look at power four numbers, I think the Celtics are probably in the bottom half.
Yes, they certainly are. I mean, they really have been well all season long in terms of allowing those power forward spots really style. And they're middle of the pack.
Looks like, about dead center
last
almost.
Last five games that they've been a little bit higher than you'd be expected by. I anticipate it's more based off the matchups than really anything that says to do about their lineup overall.
Yeah, I'd probably rather try and get up to Anthony Davis and hurt myself a little elsewhere. Go a little cheaper elsewhere. I just like Davis better than Griffin here.
Let's get to our lineups because I think there's some interest. And really, when we saw our FanDuel lineups, they were always not so much the same, but there was tough differentiating. This case, given there's only 9 games, I'm surprised by how different our lineups truly are.
Yeah.
I think that says something to really the variety of options you can use for Wednesday's 9-game slate. So, as always, we'll have you read through your lineup first. We'll touch on some players that we haven't already talked about before as to reasons why you like them. We'll do the same for mine and then conclusion of show.
Okay, perfect. Well, I'll go start off with a point guard, Chris Paul, against the Mavericks at 9,500. TLC against the Bulls, 3,900. TJ Warren against the Pacers, 7,000. Aldridge, that big, quick, up-tempo matchup against the Grizzlies, 8,400. Rudy Gobert against the Pistons as my center option at 7,400. I'm going over to Dejounte Murray, taking over for Tony Parker against the Grizzlies, 4,800. Going to Montrezl Harrell against the Celtics, 4,700. And good old B. Elitza against the Trailblazers, 4,300.
Of that lineup, I think the two names I really want to pick out here, and I suspect I know why you're going TJ Warren at 7,000 against the Pacers, and that's simply because the matchup Suns-Pacers and what Warren can present scoring-wise. But we know the counting stats as far as rebounds and assists aren't always there.
Right.
And at 7,000, don't you feel like you're limiting your production a little bit as far as that other stuff being the steals, assists, blocks, rebounds?
Not really. I mean, maybe limiting myself, yes, in those categories, but what I think Warren can do scoring-wise in this sort of matchup, I think it's an easy 30, 35, base DraftKings, floor for him. So I'm not too worried about that.
It's worth pointing out the Pacers allow the third most DraftKings points to the small forward spot. Whether Warren really plays small forward or not, I think that's kind of up in the air. It gravitates between shooting guard and small forward quite a bit when you watch those guys out there. Most of that production actually comes from the blocks category. The Pacers allow the second most, tied for first most blocks at small forward. And I think that's interesting. I couldn't really put that together as to why one of them, maybe the small forward spot, just takes bad shots at times. And I don't know if Warren's going to be able to capitalize on that stat, though. It's not like he's a huge hulking figure out there.
He had a big old two blocks against the Bucks last time out. He's in line for a few.
All right. That's fair enough. And of course, the points come as well when you're a bad team as far as stopping the small forward spot. You're going to be along a lot of points, and that's what TJ Warren does best. I understand that. LaMarcus Aldridge is the other guy that I wanted to point out. And again, it's not so much that it's a bad – well, I mean, it's not a great matchup, because when you talk about the pace of the game, I understand that Aldridge is going to be scoring a lot of points. It's the 8,400 that you got to be like, huh, Blake Griffin just got 70 points 2 days ago. He's only $600 left, or less, I should say. I feel like the floor of those two is pretty similar, whereas the ceiling leans more towards a guy like Griffin.
Yeah, I think that's definitely an argument to be made. I think this matchup specifically, though, is super beneficial for Aldridge. I mean, the Grizzlies aren't going to have Jamichael Green, their normal power forward starter. So Aldridge is going to be matched up against Jarrell Martin, young, inexperienced guy.
I didn't think about that.
So I could see him handling him pretty well. Obviously, you got Marc Gasol in the lane, too, who's going to kind of clog it up there a little bit. But I have no reservations. I think Aldridge is still a really good play against that, against Martin himself.
Well, that's an intriguing name. Honestly, I think that would be a utility spot play for me if I was able to get the price savings up for that. So I'll just run through my lineup quick, and we'll touch on the guys that really haven't talked about already. Jerian Grant, 5,800. TLC, 3,900. Those are my two point guard, shooting guard options. Bielitsa is still cheap enough for me to feel confident using at small forward. Dario Saric against the Bulls at 6,400. Ben, should I ask, who allows the most points to the power forward spot on DraftKings, or do you maybe already know?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think it might be the Bulls. That's why Dario Saric.
Okay, all right.
But also, did pretty darn good on Monday.
Yeah.
I think the floor that Saric presents, especially with Ben Simmons struggling, for whatever the reason, he's doing everything else, rebounds and assists, he's not getting the points. So I understand where the lineup optimizer is suggesting Simmons, because he very well could get a triple-double, which is going to trigger a lot of different category production for DraftKings. But Saric actually is a pretty guaranteed double-double, and I feel confident 6,400 he's going to easily get 40 points. I think that's honestly the minimum of what he's going to be able to do.
Yeah, I was originally going to probably hate on you for the price that I didn't like it, but I mean, he worked out on Monday. You got me there.
Absolutely.
So I'm not going to hate. I think it'll probably be a solid play.
And then Dwight Howard, we've talked about now a little bit, as my center option at 8,200. Again, I think that might actually be a sneaky play for double ups, as far as you see Pelicans, you see Anthony Davis, DeMarcus Cousins, when in reality, they actually allow a lot of points that center spot overall. We know Dwight Howard is always good for double-double. At my guard, it's my highest priced player, and we haven't really talked about this matchup at all, and definitely bears mentioning, Damian Lillard against the Timberwolves. Finally, your first-time All-Star, just announced yesterday.
Yeah.
8,900. I recognize he's high-priced. Give me Lillard, though, who has been much more consistent than Chris Paul. And oh, by the way, he's your favorite $600 savings less. I love Lillard, and I think that he ends up being one of the better value high-priced plays overall on Wednesday's nine-game slate.
Yeah, I really don't hate this at all. I think he's a pretty solid play. You know, he had 40, 52, 45, 51 DraftKings points. That's a ton. He's doing it pretty consistently. I like that. And I guess you're right. He is fairly cheaper than Chris Paul, so I get the intrigue there. Especially, you know, the Timberwolves don't have Jimmy Butler, so they don't have their defensive stopper. They don't. I do like the play. I actually
double dipped on this game, and this is the one area that I think I'm going to change my lineup. It's going to be at the utility spot. I currently have Yusef Nurkic in there at 6,600. He's very high priced. The Timberwolves allow enough points to the center spot where it makes sense, but it all comes from other production, not really scoring. Karl Anthony Towns, for the most part, is okay as far as getting the rebounds and stuff. The scoring Nurkic will do, but probably not enough to get to the high point of the 6,600. I'm waiting for some sort of injury to kind of even things out. However, I like my lineup in every other spot besides Nurkic. I think maybe if there's an injury that really makes sense, I'll take out Kyle Anderson, who's currently listed at 6,000 going against the Grizzlies. I like Anderson where his price is at, and I think the production minutes he's going to get is fine. However, you could probably find somebody that gives you a similar floor without the higher ceiling, and that's where for lower price. So if I was going to try to transition maybe to a higher spot like LaMarcus Aldridge, I would need a guy like Kyle Anderson to be taken out of my lineup and get rid of Nurkic.
Yeah, no, I think that's valid. Nurkic has just been so crazy inconsistent for me where it's like I'm way too afraid to touch him. I mean,
especially at 6,600.
Yeah, just too inconsistent.
Yep, and I agree with you. I mean, I honestly think in a tournament setting, that's not a bad play because people are going to think what you think. I'm like, oh, yeah, He's been really consistent, but he's done well when he's done well.
Right, right. Yeah.
It's a matter of getting on when he does well.
Right.
That's what that's coming to play. So that would be the one lineup change. Of course, you can see if we make any changes on our Twitter handles. Of course, we'll be tweeting out closer to the 7 o'clock Eastern time tip off. I neglected to do that Monday, which would have been great because I could have had Craig Monroe and Anthony Davis in there. But hey, I still had 290. So we got to take care of that, at least for the points go. That does it for us on the Wednesday NBA DFS podcast. We'll be back again Monday, I think.
Monday,
that's not the All-Star game, right?
No, we still got a couple weeks.
A couple weeks?
I think it's not till mid-February.
I need the All-Star games. I'm getting exhausted here. We need the break. All right, well, we'll be back again Monday. Talk more NBA DFS. Hopefully, Ben will figure out how to say DraftKings points instead of FanDuel points by then. But we'll see how it goes, and we'll talk to you again Monday.